y'all. Look how fucking sunny it is in here.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Weird. It's only like it for a few minutes, and then it...
Yeah, it gets right about when we're... Yeah, right,
and it doesn't look any different in here.
Yeah.
When it does. It just has to do with how many, I don't know, how many, what do you call it, electrons? Photons. How many photons are coming in?
It looks pink in here. Yeah. What the fuck? I don't like it. I don't like it one bit.
People are starting to come in.
Yeah, you got your little... Your little Outback hat on.
Yeah, I went fucking sexual tyrannosaur today.
Okay. It's the sexual tyrannosaur.
Yeah, sexual tyrannosaur hat.
We'll call it today. We'll call it the Scorpion King hat.
Yeah, well, this is the same kind of boonie cap that Blaine was wearing in fucking Predator.
Well, one. Yeah, that's why we call it the sexual tyrannosaur.
He's sexual tyrannosaur.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So today we're talking about The Mummy Returns from 2001. Now, what did you think about it, Tom?
It was good. It wasn't as good as the first one. They fucked up the CG in the last fucking big fight at the very end. It was just over the fucking top. They didn't have to try to show you all that shit. They could have used some real fucking traditional Hollywood style camera tricks like they would have used out of fucking Indiana Jones or something. What the hell, Pooh?
What's she doing?
I'm just throwing shit around in there. Yeah, getting my attention. But they just tried to do too much in the end, and the CG wasn't convincing. But what was terrible about this is that it was only a couple seconds of The Rock's face as the fucking Scorpion King. It just didn't look like The Rock. It didn't look real. And then the big swirling tree forest around the fucking... pyramid as the jungle was disappearing. They didn't have to do it that way.
Yeah,
they
spent
all that money and it looked like shit.
Well, what I heard, I don't know if this is true or not,
right.
But I heard, because it seemed like the more the movie went on, and I know that they don't like shoot movies in order, but it seemed like the more the movie went on, like the special effects near the beginning were like okay.
Yeah.
But then like the more the movie went on, like the shittier they got.
Yeah.
I heard that Industrial Light and Magic did this. It wasn't just some little fly-by-night, like, shitty company. It was ILM.
That's beneath their standards.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, I heard that the team, basically, they were going to release the movie earlier than anticipated, and they were like, look, you have 8 days.
Oh, okay.
So, that's what I heard. I don't know if that's true or not, which would explain a lot. So if they only had 8 days, then they did an okay job, but it still looks like ass. And, like, people are still talking about how ass it looks like nowadays, even though this movie came out more than 20 years ago. So, and the thing about it, this came out in 2001, and we were talking about, you know, the first Mummy yesterday, which had some CGI in it that looks a little bit, but you know what I mean? Like, some, you know, most CGI from 1999 kind of looked like that. But this one, I mean, some movies came out in 2001. Like, I was watching another review of this that pointed out, you know, Lord of the Rings came out in 2001. Obviously, the standards were much, much higher, and there was really no excuse for this looking like that, other than it just being, like, really rushed.
They rushed it for a cash grab, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it, like you said, and it's kind of sad, too, because this was Dwayne Johnson's first acting role. And he's barely in it.
Yeah.
And it's like he was on all the marketing stuff, which I guess they did later because he got, like, real famous later. But this was his first acting role. He's in the beginning, like, in a little bit when they're doing the flashback where he's the actual Scorpion King and everything. And then at the end of it, where with, like, the big monster fight, it's, like, not even him. It's, like, a CGI him with a scorpion body.
Yeah, and it looks bad. It looks bad.
I kind of thought it would have been cooler if... I mean, he didn't have to look like... I mean, I like the idea of, like, a half-man, half-scorpion. But either build the shit, practically, or shoot it in a way that it was still the actual actor.
Yeah, all they had to do was just do close-ups on his real face. They didn't have to show... And the thing is that the scorpion part of it looked really good. So did the torso. It was just the face. Dwayne Johnson's face just didn't look right. It looked like a CGI drawing, you know. It almost
would have been better. We were talking about this last time we were watching it.
Rest of time looks all right, though. From a distance, it looks great.
I kind of feel like it would have been better because even back then, I mean, There was some good CGI back then, but it was always easier to do like monsters or creatures rather than doing like a person that looks like an actual person and doesn't look like creepy like Uncanny Valley. I mean, they even have problems with that nowadays. Like, it looks a lot better nowadays if you're trying to like do a CGI of like a person, like, you know, a person that's dead or whatever. It looks a lot better than it did back then, but it still looks a little bit creepy. And so they still haven't gotten it right now.
Had they put a CGI helmet on him with a visor and obscured a lot of his face, it would have looked a lot better.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you really couldn't see his eyes,
yeah,
it would have looked a lot better.
And I wasn't a big fan. I mean, because like I said, I didn't mind the CGI of Imhotep because it kind of looked about the same as it did in the 1999 one, which looked a little bit cheesy, but that's fine. But I kind of feel like a lot of the sequences toward the end, it seemed like they just kind of like rushed them or cheaped out. It almost seemed like they didn't finish them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a shame because this is not actually a bad movie at all. It's not as good as the first one.
Yeah.
I feel like it was a little bit overstuffed in the sense that there was too much stuff going on like to keep track of that I wasn't real... I couldn't follow it as easy. I mean, I still followed it, but I couldn't follow it as easily as the first one. It had kind of like a bunch of subplots that didn't really end up mattering. But it was still like a good time. There was still some funny shit in it. You know, it still had a bunch of cool shit in it. And I'm glad that they got Brendan Fraser back. I'm glad they got Rachel Weisz in it. Now, I don't think Rachel Weisz is in the third one, even though they have that character, but it's played by a different actress, which, you know, that always happens. But, you know, in some ways, I like that they brought back What's-Her-Face, Imhotep's girlfriend.
Yeah.
I like that they brought her back in, like, modern, like, human form. I thought that was a good
idea. She was in
there,
too.
Yeah.
They did a lot of the same things that they did in the first one. The first one was kind of like a Indiana Jones Tomb Raider ripoff. Or not ripoff, but, you know, inspired that type of movie. This one... It was still trying to go that direction, but it was a bit like Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. Kind of reminded me of that movie. It even ended in a place where around a big pyramid, and they had to fight a bunch of shit. They had to fight the damn...
That would be something if he had to fight a bunch of shit.
Bunch of shit, yeah. Well, they had to fight a bunch of those little damn Zindi warriors or whatever they were.
I think they were supposed to be pygmy mummies.
Is that what they were?
Which I didn't really get that until I was, like, reading research, because I'm like, what exactly were those little... What were they supposed to be, exactly?
I thought it was that little thing Karen Black was fighting. What's called a Zuni warrior. It's like that.
I think they were supposed to be mummies, but pygmy mummies.
Okay.
Like, just because that was just something. And that's the thing that didn't really seem to tie in, unless it did, and I didn't hear that part. That's what I kind of mean about it being overstuffed. A lot goes on in this movie. A lot.
Had I been a kid and really liked the first one, and then saw this one a year or so later when it came out, I probably would have mostly been satisfied with it.
Yeah,
it did. Try to give you that adventure feeling. I'm not really the target market, you know, age-wise. I've seen better ones. If you guys want to see really good movies like this, you want to see the old Sinbad movies. Sinbad, the Seven Voyages of Sinbad, the Golden Voyage of Sinbad, and Sinbad and the Eye of the Tiger. They were just Ray Harryhausen stop-motion British classics. One of them even has, I think it was Golden Voyage of Sinbad, I think it's that one. That it even had Tom Baker in it as the fucking evil,
playing like an evil wizard.
An evil fucking Zoroastrian wizard. Yeah,
which one was that? Was that Eye of the Tiger?
It wasn't Eye of the Tiger.
It was the other one?
I think it was Seven or Golden Voyage of Sinbad, I think.
We reviewed them all not too long ago, but I get confused like what.
They're a lot more handmade and kinda classy in a way. Eye of the Tiger was a little rough, but it still kind of had some of that classy shit in it. The evil sorceress was the hottie from Excalibur, who was fucking the evil sorceress. What was her name? Mordred? Or no, Ygraine? No. What was her name? A fucking Arthur's sister who slept with him and had the fucking abomination. I think it was Mordred.
Mordred's the son.
Mordred was the son, right.
What's her name? Morgana something.
Yeah, and what was the name of that actress? She was blonde.
Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, yeah. She was in that. She played the sword.
I think that's Helen Mirren, isn't it?
She's just like a proto-goth chick, like something that you would see up fucking Hammer House, out of a Hammer horror film. Fishnet wear a bit. Let her titties fly out. That kind of stuff. She's one of those. She was hot, yeah. She's like something you'd see in Penthouse. Doing her fucking Penthouse layout and shit.
She was in a shit ton of movies later.
She had a shit ton of movies. She could act.
Yeah, she actually
did a whole lot of nude scenes and shit.
Well, no, I mean, she was in a lot of really good, like, kind of Oscar-worthy movies. Yeah. Like, later, when she got older and stuff, she had, like, a really, really long career.
Yeah.
But yeah, very, very respected British actress.
Yeah, those movies are like these, but a lot more classy. There's something about them. But this was not bad. It's just, it wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see the third one.
This one, like, it had its moments, and we liked that the guy Lachna. We liked him.
Yeah, he guy was real
that
cool.
Dude was badass.
He ended up being a Game of Thrones or something. Lachna was his name.
Was the character name.
And dude had an impressive physique for somebody who is not a bodybuilder. You know, he had pretty good arms. He's like 6'1", 6'2". I looked up his specs. He gained a little bit of weight, but in this, he was an ex-actor and a model. And his real name is some impronounceable fucking African name, even though I think they have him down as a British actor. But he was a model and an actor, and he was on a good cycle of something for this one. He was fucking looking good, and pulled off a fucking badass action role as kind of like a villain. He was like the captain of the Evil Queen's Royal Guards.
He was like the cult, because it was cult, like a,
was
cult.
Like a cult. Right, yeah.
He was like the enforcer guy.
Kind of like of an Ashashin, I think is what they call him.
What the funny, some of the funny shit, I'm kind of like ambivalent about the whole, because you know how when the, you know, at that point in the sequel, you know, movies where they add a kid?
Yeah.
And they did that in this one. The kid in this one isn't really all that annoying. He's a little bit annoying, but not really. Actually, like, the one scene near the beginning where there's that big flood, the, you know, the opening thing where they find the bracelet, and, you know, and he comes out, and he's kind of with his hair sticking up, and he's a British kid, obviously, so, like, when he talks, I'm like, oh, look, he looks like a little bitty Gordon Ramsay with his hair sticking up like that. But some of the funniest shit was that little kid and Lachna, who was supposed to be, like, guarding him, because they needed the bracelet to show them where this sanctuary thing was, and they couldn't get it off, so they had to take the kid with them. And the whole thing about them being in the plane, or the train, rather, and, like, the kid being like, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like, that, like, making him take him to the bathroom and shit like that. That shit was funny. But,
they're requesting Thief of Baghdad, 1940. I remember it vaguely, and I remember really liking it. I think it was color, though, wasn't it?
I can't remember. I haven't seen it in a long
time. It was really 1940? I thought that was a 1950s movie, or early 60s. Maybe there's an older one. I don't know.
David June says, was this the one with the weird airship? Yeah. The one with the dirigible. Yeah, they go and find, like, this friend, like, of... he wasn't in the first movie, the friend Izzy, I think the character's name was, and you know, and they kind of, like, imply that him and Rick O'Donnell, Brendan Fraser's character, had, like, a history, because they did some job before where he kept, you know, he was mad that he got shot in the ass, and he kept being afraid that he was going to get shot in the ass again. But yeah, he had a dirigible, and they did kind of use that later on. So yeah, there's a sequence in a dirigible. There's a sequence, like, with the wall of water that had the face in it, and there was that there was that sequence in the double decker bus where they were, like, fighting the mummies, which was actually, I kind of liked that. It was done sort of, like, comedically, but I don't know. I kind of liked the way they did that. It was, like, a little bit goofy, but the first one was kind of goofy too.
This was deep in the era where the monsters can run really fast and they'll run up the sides of damn walls of caves.
Because everybody knows mummies can do that.
Everybody knows the monsters can run along walls, you know.
Sure, why not?
Yeah.
I mean, they're supernatural. Who are you to say that they can't do that? They can just do whatever the fuck they want. But yeah, so the thing about, like I said, I didn't mind this movie. It wasn't bad. It's not, you know, it's not nearly as good as the first one, but it's still kind of fun. It's still pretty entertaining. The CGI is bad, but the CGI toward the end is bad. Like, up to then, it's not that terrible.
Yeah.
But I think the main criticism I have was that it's too convoluted. There was like too much stuff going on in it.
Yeah.
They had like there were too many the plot had too many moving parts, and I didn't entirely like I kind of got okay. So they do like the beginning thing with the Rock, right? And he asked Anubis. He got his ass kicked in battle, right? And then he asks Anubis to conquer the world, as one does. Anubis gives him an army. His army lose. Wait a minute. Maybe he lost first. I don't even know. But then there's a thing where he's like super power. Like Anubis gives him all these powers. But then there's this other contingent, which is led by Mila, who is the reincarnation of Imhotep's love. And she's like, we're going to bring back Imhotep, and he's going to fight the Scorpion King. And if he kills the Scorpion King, then he'll take the Scorpion King's army, and then he can take over the world, because that's what everybody's trying to do nowadays. And so that whole thing is going on. So for some reason, to do all of this, they need to go to this place. It's like an oasis, but it's like a magical oasis in the middle of the desert, and they don't know how to go there. And the only way that you can get there is by this sort of like this Scorpion King bracelet that they find at the beginning, and it has like this projection deal, which tells you like it shows you, hey, it go here, and then hey, go there, and then hey, go there. So then the kid like accidentally gets it clamped onto his arm, and it won't come off. So then the cult first like kidnap Rachel Weisz's character, because she's always getting fucking kidnapped, and then but they get her loose. But then immediately after they get her loose, the kid gets kidnapped, and then. So, and then there's a whole thing with, like, reincarnation where Imhotep is gonna reincarnate, but then it turns out that Rachel Weisz's character is actually the reincarnation of Nefertiti, who is the daughter of the pharaoh that Imhotep and the mistress killed, like, back a long time ago, and that those two women, like, fought each other. And even though Rachel Weisz couldn't, like, do ninja shit in the first movie, she can do ninja shit in this one because it's, like, her reincarnation thing is coming. But so, like I said, there's a lot going on in this movie.
Yeah, I can't believe you recited it at all.
And honestly, there might have been more going on than that.
Then
there was three other British guys who were trying to get some shit too. I don't even remember who they were working for, but they got like sucked in by Imhotep, like he took all their souls or whatever.
A lot of the aspects of the movie were lost on me within about 15 minutes. So I just gave up trying to keep track of everything. I just rode it like a ride and just watched it, you know. Like I said, it's not like a movie. They're not as well written as none of these are as well written as the Sinbad movies, because they were simple and easy to hold on to, keep track of what was happening, and the acting was better, or there was more dialogue to the acting, and they moved a little bit more slowly so you could kind of enjoy them, and it was practical effects, so. It was just a different tempo. This is meant to be kind of like an amusement park ride.
Yeah. This one seemed a little... Because the first one, I thought... It's the same director. The first one, I thought, was paced really well.
Yeah.
You know, it was... You know, it wasn't like all action, but the scenes...
This one was a little psycho.
Yeah, this one was a little... needed some Ritalin.
Yeah.
Because, like I said, there was a lot going on, and it was just kind of like... They'd go to, like, here's a scene with, like, people expositing, like, and over-explaining things that they wouldn't explain to one another, and then, oh, we need another action scene. So they had to have this... And I'm not, like, shitting on action scenes. That's good that they were keeping stuff going along, but I kind of feel like... There were so many action scenes that you didn't really have room to breathe, and you didn't really have room to process, because the plot was so complicated that, and there were so many characters working at their own, like, toward their own ends, and you didn't really have a chance to process any of that going on. And nobody could really, like, process any emotions, like, when somebody got kidnapped or somebody got killed or something like that, nobody really had a minute to just be like, oh, bummer, or, you know, or whatever, or, like, react to it. They're like, nope, next action sequence, you know what I mean? So it just seemed very, it seemed really spazzy. more than the first one did. And the first one was really fast paced, but like I said, there's a difference between fast paced and like frenetically paced.
Well, we'll just see, you know, we got one more to watch. We'll see if they save it.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm not shitting on this, but it's not bad, but there's some stuff, and actually there's some real great moments in this. I will say that. I liked the bus fight. I liked, you know, the part with Lok Na and the kid, like, kind of interacting. You know, some of the stuff. One of the best scenes, I thought, was the very end when, you know, after they kill the Scorpion King, but Imhotep and Rick are both, like, hanging off the abyss or whatever. And, you know, and Rick basically says to his wife, you know, don't save me. Get the fuck out of here, because the whole place was, like, collapsing. Right. But she was like, fuck it, and she ran to save him. And then Imhotep says to his girlfriend, help me. And she's like, fuck you, buddy. Yeah. And she, like, runs the fuck out of there. And then, like, Imhotep, like, looks at them like, bro. Yeah. Bro. And then he just goes, fuck it. And then he just, like, falls back in the thing. So I really liked that moment. Like, he really sold on his face, like, man, that bitch. Yeah. You know what I mean? But you could tell he was, like, really, really sad. Because it's like, all this fucking shit I've done over thousands of years for your ass. And you were just like, nope, bye.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. You know what I mean?
She just stand up for him.
Yeah. And that's So I really liked that moment. So this does actually have some really good moments in it. But one, I think they could have trimmed out some of the extraneous detail. I mean, they could have simplified the narrative, for one thing, because there was too much going on. And like I said, I just recited it without looking at the, because I have notes and stuff, but I didn't look at that. I remembered most of the shit that was going on, but I'm sure I probably forgot some stuff. But it was, like, a little too complicated. They could have trimmed it down a little bit. And I feel like if they're going to go the monster Scorpion King route, I'm not saying that they shouldn't have. I'm just saying that either do the Scorpion part with CGI and then use the rock, or build that. I mean, it was 2001. People have been building, like, puppets and shit like that that looked fucking amazing, like, way back in the fucking 80s.
Yeah.
That looked better than that.
People cared more back then, though.
I mean, so they could have done something like that.
Yeah, people cared more back then. The studio schedules weren't as packed. They weren't trying to make, you know, these were made by factories, you know.
They were just trying to get it out there. Well, and to be honest, they probably were right too, because this actually did make more money than the first one.
Yeah, it's just
it cost a little bit more. I think the first one was cost 80 million. This one cost 98 million, but this one made more than the first one, and was actually was number one for a while, and I think it was even like the number one DVD sale for a while, at least until Phantom Menace came out. So it was successful. It was just, it seemed very rushed. It seemed like it needed another pass through the editor, the script did, and it needed several more passes through the CGI. I just wish they would have done practical. I know it was 2001. Nobody was doing practical effects, which is one thing I'm glad about nowadays, that people seem to have gone back to that because they understand that it looks better.
Yeah, for some things.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like the newer generation of filmmakers coming up have more respect for doing it, like, the old-fashioned way, because it doesn't date like CGI does. So, I don't know. I just kind of wish they would have done that. Honestly, they didn't, and I could have done without the destruction of the Oasis. That looked really bad also.
Yep.
I mean, where all the trees were coming up and,
all,
like, swirling around. It's like they didn't need that. They
all
didn't
they
need
to do
that.
Do it like you do in Indiana Jones or something, where they look and a light shines on their face and then fans back and it's gone. They're like, what happened to it?
It disappeared.
The audience doesn't actually want to see how it disappeared. They actually just want to know that it happened and it must have been badass.
You know, yeah, you don't have to show every single thing. And honestly, if it's just going to look like butt, then you might as well just not show it.
Yeah.
Just imply it.
Right.
Because the way that that whole oasis in the desert, like, kind of sucked in and, like, all the palm trees were flying around, it just looked like a cartoon.
Yeah.
And you absolutely did not have, you didn't have to have that. You could have implied, you know, the oasis being sucked back into the desert or, like, some other way.
Green blender. And you could see, you could see the patterns in the data.
Yeah.
Of the same tree limbs going.
Yeah, that's what, and you could tell that in, like, some of the battle scenes too, like with some of the, when the Scorpion King's army came in, that was all like Anubises or Anubi or whatever. Yeah, you can tell, you can see patterns, like, in all the crowd scenes and whatnot. But like I said, there was some good shit about this movie. I liked the Lok Na character. I liked that they brought Ardeth Bay back. I didn't mind the reincarnation thing, although I kind of wish that they had hinted at that in the first one. I think that was something that they came up with in between the movies, and then they're trying to pretend like that was part of the idea all along, even though it wasn't even hinted at in the first movie that what's-her-face, that Rachel Weisz's character was a reincarnation of the daughter of the Pharaoh. I think so. It was, they kind of shoehorned in, but I didn't mind that. You know, I just kind of wish they had hinted at it in the first movie, so it would have had some continuity. But you know, I'm not going to get too like upset about that. I did kind of like those sequences, like with them two girls fighting and shit like that. But so there were moments in it I liked. It was a good time. I didn't think it was terrible by any means, and it was still fun. I still had a fun time watching it. It wasn't boring, but you know, it just it needed some work. That's all I'm saying. So we'll see. I've heard the third one is like the worst one.
Oh shit. That's
but bad, yeah. I don't know.
We'll see.
But then I also heard that Roger Ebert, who quite liked the first one, actually thought the third one was better than the first one.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure how to feel about it.
Okay.
I'm not sure how to feel about it. Well, because like I said, it's hard to take other people's opinion on stuff because other people aren't me. So it's just kind of like, I can't judge whether I'm going to like a movie or not until I've actually seen it. So we're going to watch the third one tonight and see what happens. I'm already kind of bummed because Rachel Weisz isn't in the third one, but her character's in it, but they had to change. I guess she couldn't be in this one or didn't want to be in it. So there's that. And like I said, we don't have the Scorpion King, like the, you know, the spinoff. So we might get to that one eventually, like, because that was kind of The Rock's whole movie. But like I said, it seemed sad that like The Rock was in this. But not I think he was literally only in it for maybe like 2 minutes of screen time.
Yeah.
Like at the beginning in the prologue and then at the end.
Well,
but
he wasn't
it
all that famous.
At the end, but it wasn't him.
Yeah, he wasn't all that famous.
Yeah, he was just like wrestler at this point. Yeah. Like now everybody knows who the fuck he is, but back then
he can carry a movie now.
Well, yeah, and he has done.
You're right.
And he's great. But yeah, in this one he's just kind of he's barely in it. So, you know. Sabrina said, I think they did hint at it in the first film, because Imhotep called Rachel Weisz's character Princess when he first saw her. Maybe, although I've heard another theory about that, because some people in the first one were kind of confused, like, why did Imhotep think that Rachel Weisz was his reincarnation of his lost love? And some people pointed out, well, you know, the eyes that he stole were from a dude with glasses, whose eyesight wasn't good. So it could be that he stole, like, some fucked up eyes, and he just saw, like, a blonde chick or a dark-haired chick from far away and was like, hey, that's my girl, you know what I mean? Because he couldn't really see her all that good. That's kind of like the accepted story. They said it's pretty subtle in the first one, but it is implied that because he took eyes from a dude that couldn't see all that well, he actually was...
Yeah, he was imagining.
He was imagining that it was her because he couldn't see it. Although it could be, like I said, that they did mean to, but I don't know. I don't know if they intended for her to be a reincarnation of Nefertiti in the second one. I didn't mind that, but it did seem a little bit like, you know, surprise, now she can do ninja shit. You know what I mean? Because she's getting, like, she's remembering all this stuff. Because she says that, like, right from the beginning. Like, she's having dreams and visions and stuff. And I don't know why she didn't in the first one. But, you know, whatever. It's fine. I'm thinking about it too much, I'm sure. But, yeah, so we're going to watch the third one tonight. And we'll see how that one goes. And then we'll be back tomorrow to talk about that. So, thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us this afternoon briefly, and we will see you guys again tomorrow.